My soul says yes, yes, Lord, yes to your way, yes to your will, yes to trusting you, yes to obeying you. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Well, God bless you. Good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may be. Thank you for tuning in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. On my Pastor Kenneth Bunnett. Well, God bless you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday evening. We've already kicked off the week having a good time. Amen. But just in case someone, your Monday wasn't all that it could have been, all that it should have been, or just one that you wish, oh, Lord, that you can do again. This program is for you. It is my desire this evening to encourage you, to build you up, to put a smile on your face, to cause something to happen to you on this program that will make you say, Lord, I thank you for people who know how to laugh. Thank you for people who know how to enjoy life. And that's our desire this evening, is just to have a wonderful time in the Lord. Well, God bless you again. Thank you for tuning in. We believe in the power of prayer. Amen. We believe in true prayer. Prayer is not, you know, writing down a Christmas list, sending it to a fictitious character in a place that's fictitious, hoping that it's going to get there and he's going to read it in time. No, prayer is a real communication, petitioning the Almighty, asking him or thanking him for the things in your personal life and in the world. Prayer is praying to someone that has ears to hear and have a voice to answer. That's right. When we pray, we should also listen for an answer. Amen. Especially if we're asking questions. Amen. But our prayer also should be accomplished with thanksgiving. It should have in it the sweet notes of I'm appreciative of what you already done. I've recognized what you already done. It will be amazing, and you'll be surprised how many times we're asking God, Lord, give me this. Let's use money as this example. Lord, give me $20, and the Lord will give us $20. And before we realize that we received the $20, we're still asking for that same $20. And then by the time we realize we got $20, we're asking for 20 more, and we haven't even said for the 20 that we received. And then by the time we realize that he given us even more than what we asked from the beginning, we still sometimes fail to say thank you for what he done. As we begin or proceed to ask for more and more and more. So that's why it's so important when we pray that we, number one, recognize that he's God, not a magic genie, not a wish granter, but he's God. He's a King of Kings. He is our Creator. He has a plan concerning our lives. We love the quote, especially me, Jeremiah 29:11, that says, I know my thoughts towards you, declared the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a expected end. And that is a wonderful thing. And some of us, we love to even go on to Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain. And so they that read it shall run and not faint. We love to quote certain scriptures, not realizing that many of these have certain prerequisites tied to them, especially that Habakkuk 2:2. We often forget that Habakkuk 2 had verse 1 before verse 2. And verse 1, he had to remove himself from everybody else and go to a high place and go to a place sacred, and that he can call upon the Lord. And he listened to see what God would answer. He waited patiently on the Lord. Many times that's our real issue. We don't exercise patience when we're asking God to do certain things. Can you imagine a little child coming home from school and saying, Mama, Daddy, I'm hungry. Will you fix me something to eat? And before you can get into your bedroom good enough to either remove your shoes or your coat, your jacket from that day, that child is saying, I'm hungry. Well, you know you fed them that morning. You know they had lunch. You know they're not dying from hunger, so you're not rushing. You're telling them, wait a moment, it's coming. And while you're in there preparing the food, the child still holler, I'm hungry. Hurry up. It can be a little frustrating from a parent standpoint that they can see the food being prepared. They can smell the vegetables being cut up. They can even hear the onion searing in the pan as you're sautéing them for the meal that you're preparing. They can smell the bread baking in the oven. And yet they're still hollering, "I'm hungry, I'm hungry." It almost makes you want to stop. It almost makes you want to say, and some of us do say, go sit down somewhere and wait. I said I'm going to feed you. Because you know you're going to feed them and you know that they're not starving. And I like to encourage us that our Heavenly Father is a good daddy. He's a great king. And he knows just how hungry we really are. He knows that we're not starving. And so because he's a good father, because he's good, because he's already preparing our meal, we don't have to keep begging him for what he's already doing. We simply must wait patiently. And there's some things that God has in motion for our lives, brothers and sisters. And my first encouragement this evening is wait on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. And watch to see what the Lord is going to do for you. And in due season, you will see that the Lord is already working out just everything you need. He's doing it. You don't have to rush him. It's going to happen. It will happen. Just wait patiently. The Bible even said, let patience have her perfect work, that it may prove. God is proving something. Wait patiently on it. Because when we begin to be patient and wait on the Lord, we'll see what he, the Lord, is doing. And I guarantee you, it'll be worth the wait. When your parent is cooking something good, and you waited till the meal has finished, and when it's time to sit down at the table, and the food is set before you, that's why I like Psalm 23, he prepares a table before me. When you sit down to eat that meal, good. So good that you ask for a second. So good that you say, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Thank you for fixing my meal. In the what we call the Lord's Prayer, he said, give us this day our daily bread. And God realized that we need to consume food for living, for energy, for our bodies. But there's so much more we also need to consume for our bodies, for living. We also must consume the word. Oh, I wish that many of us would be as hungry for God's word as we are for natural sustenance, food. Oh, how I wish that we would have craving for God's word like we had craving for that cake or that ice cream. You know your favorite bucket of ice cream. I said bucket. Yes, I did. You know when you desire some good ice cream and you found your good brand, oh, my Lord. I don't want to call no brand because you may think they're supporting the program. It'd be nice if they was. So Bluebell, if you is listening, yeah, you can send a donation to the Six Eyes Program Radio Network, and we'll gladly appreciate your offering. But there's something about getting a brand new bucket of ice cream, smooth and creamy. For me, it's butter pecan. Amen, somebody. Oh, yes, I can indulge in some good ice cream. Also, that strawberry. Let us not forget the original vanilla, French vanilla, too. Lord, have mercy. It's cold right now, but ice cream would just fit in so good right through here. Now, that was wonderful. And many of you, as I was talking about it, you were imagining your favorite brand of ice cream. Some of y'all was imagining Rock and Roll. Somebody was imagining this and that and the other. But wouldn't it be wonderful for us to crave scriptures like we crave food? Wouldn't it be nice for somebody to say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus, and get happy for remembering God so loved the world that he gave. Amen, somebody. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody was thinking about Philippians 4:8, finally, my brother, whatsoever thing, and you got happy about it, reading the word of God. Somebody went to Isaiah and began to think of the goodness of God and the conversation that took place there. Somebody turned over to Samuel and began to read about the relationship, how God developed a young boy that didn't know his voice, and put a word in his mouth that did not fall to the ground. Wouldn't it be nice for us to crave the word of God like people crave for things and substance? Wouldn't it be nice for us to crave Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all this righteousness? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice for us to have craving for Romans 10:9-10, that if I will confess with my mouth and believe with my heart the Lord Jesus, glory to God, I should be saved. Then wouldn't it be nice for us to crave the word of God like we crave food? Wouldn't it be nice for us to crave Acts 2:4, that the Holy Spirit is given to those who ask for him? Lord, have mercy. Wouldn't it be nice for us to get excited about the written word, the promise of eternity? They that remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Wouldn't it be nice for us to crave God's word like we crave food that goes into our mouth and out through the bank? No matter what we consume, there's part that we can use for energy, but then there's part that must be disposed of. It's good that we can consume God's word, and we don't have to dispose none of it. It's all good. For even the scripture tell us all of it, the old and the new, that which was under the law, that which preceded the law, that which is under grace, it's all good. And it has its place. Wouldn't it be nice? What's your favorite scripture? What's your scripture that when you begin to think about it, it makes you feel good down on the inside? For me, one of my favorite personal scriptures is it's Matthew 7:7. Oh, yeah, there's something that I've held on to since I was but a little child. And that was act, and it shall be given to you. You shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. And when you jump to the next verse, it says, for everyone that asks, receiveth. Oh, that's some good food right there. Oh, I done went from having dessert first, snacks. I done went to a main course because it gives me the assurance, like the text that says, they that seek after God must believe that he is God. And conjunction. And he is a rewarder to them that will diligently, that means persistently, continuously, seek after him. Wow. Ooh-wee. That's some good food right there. Oh, yeah, that's as good as me talking about the fresh prick, the fresh plucked up collard greens out grandmama's garden. Chopped up fresh and took that bacon and fried up that bacon and took that juice and drizzled it on that. And took that smoked meat that was smoked out back and chopped it up and dropped it in those greens. Oh, your mouth got watery right there. Oh, yeah, if you like some good down-home cooking, oh, yeah, if I start talking about those collard greens, those black-eyed peas, those, even if you like lima beans, some vegetables, oh, Lord, you can do the same with cabbage. Glory, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And you take that smoked meat and you put it in that pot with those greens and you let it simmer, cook slow, for a little time, till they are nice and tender. Lord have mercy. It doesn't matter what you're fixing with it. You can just take some good old-fashioned cornbread made with just cornmeal. Amen. And it would just be good enough all by itself, especially when black-eyed peas or lima beans make its own gravy. Lord have mercy. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, your mouth is watery right now for me talking about the food. Somebody haven't ate yet. You just done got hungry all by yourself. Look at him. The kitchen is not on right now, but all of a sudden you want to go to your either favorite cookout or you looking over at your wife, your spouse, and say, hey, while the program going on, go ahead. I'm going to turn it up loud. Go ahead. We need to do something right now. We need to fix something. We need some roasted chicken right now or something. We need to do something. If you know how to fry food good, Lord have mercy. Turn that grease on. Let's get some fish and put it in the batter and fry it up. Just like you get happy about that food. Jesus reminded us in his first temptation, talking to the devil that challenged him in his identity. He said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command. In other words, he recognized that God is number one, not one that makes suggestions when he speaks, but his very words alone are the commandment that the whole universe must obey. So if he be God, the Son of God, if that's indeed who he is, command these stones be made bread. You know you're hungry. You know you've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights without food. Your physical body needs something to eat. You can barely stand. You can barely walk. You can barely move. A wilderness place. Can't you imagine the devil taunting him with natural things? Because his body had a natural need. But somewhere down on the inside, to the core of his true DNA, he mustered up the words, eat later. Nah, food is on the way. He brought nothing to his defense other than what is written in the book. What is written that has been called sacred. And he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Oh, my God, Lord have mercy. I'm hungry, and he's saying, I can't live by just bread. I can't live just by my physical needs. Lord have mercy. I done got happy all by my oneself. Glory, hallelujah. But man must live by. Must. Now, you done asked me to talk, but now listen to what I'm talking about. Man must live by every word. Oh, Lord, I'm working already. The aroma is saturating the room. Man must live by bread alone. Not by bread alone. And ain't nothing wrong with your having bread. There's nothing wrong with you having a little money in your pocket. There's nothing wrong with you having a nice bank account or good 401k program. There's nothing wrong with you having an inheritance to pass on to your children's children. But what good is that if you don't give them Jesus? What good is that if you don't introduce them to the Savior of the whole universe? What good is it if they don't know God for them themselves? What good is it if you yourself don't know God? Man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Whatever God is talking about, that's what I live on. Whatever God is speaking to me concerning, it is my lifeline. Glory, hallelujah. That's my appetite. That's my craving. He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Glory, hallelujah. You're going to be filled, oh God, on the inside when you got the word of God, because it is the word of increase. It is the word of, Lord God, that cannot fall to the ground, that it must accomplish that which it was sent out to do. So if there be a word from the Lord concerning you, no matter what the world is throwing at you, no matter what it seems to be turned upside down, no matter what thing like has fallen, God is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond that you can ask or even think. So when you attach yourself, your desires, when you attach them to the word of God, you begin to hunger for his word. He fills you on the inside. When you're thirsting for what God is saying, glory, hallelujah, you're not going about what's popular today, what the world is chatting about today. All you need to know, Lord, is there a word in the house? Is there a word in the atmosphere? Is there a word for my community? Is there a word for my family? What are you saying, Lord? Can I hear? Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Are you struggling today? I dare you to allow your hunger be to that of God's word? Are you suffering? I dare you to find out what God has said about your suffering. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. Jesus promised, lo, I'm with you always. So even though you may be at a low point in your life, he's there with you. You're not alone. God is so good, my Lord, that he does not leave us alone. There's a scripture where David said, if I make my bed in hell, my God, thou art there. Anywhere that I'm living life, I am not alone because my God is there. And that's why we hunger for the word of God. That's why our snacks need to be that of God's word. Our meal, our substance, our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Woo! Even the craving in the midnight hour need to be that of God's word. We don't have to worry about the extra weight of it. It's never too much. The songwriter wrote, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? The answer was no, but there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. I need not to be concerned with your cross, but I need to be concerned with the cross that God has charged me to carry. Over in Luke, yesterday we was asked the question to explain what it is to hate ourselves in comparison to loving God, in comparison to following his word. We found out there in the scriptures that nothing should compare with our love concerning God. Not my father, nor my mother, nor your husband, nor my wife, nor your son or daughter, nor brother or sister, nor things to come or things that have been. Nothing in this world should compare to the love that we have for God. Our love for God must supersede the very need for something in our own body. How do you know that you love God with your everything? It is when you can stop in the middle of doing whatever it is that you're doing and you can give God praise. I learned some time ago, just looking at and observing the life of my dog outside named King. King, I raised him from his litter, and I fed him what I fed him. He never growled if I put my hand there in his bowl. Matter of fact, he'll stop and look up when I go to feed him and the bowl is empty. Even if I had waited a little time, he'll look at me even before he began to eat. It is if he is saying, thank you. And oftentimes I've gone out there and I said, I'm sorry, King, I forgot to feed you last night. And he never seems to complain. In fact, I had to tell him, go ahead, it's all right to eat. and he'll look back at me, and he'll look at the food, and he'll look back at me, and to say, are you sure? And if I say a name, he stops right there, and he leaves his food, and he comes, and he put his head on my hand, and he says to me, I just want your touch. And one day that revelation hit me down to my core. That's to say, that is how God wants his people to be. He don't want us to be hungry for substance, but he wants us hungry for his touch. Oh, if I could desire the touch of God, what will that make me do? To know that the Spirit of the living God is there to touch me no matter what's going on. In times that we had to discipline him for doing something he shouldn't have been done. But I noticed his attitude never changed. The food comes to the bowl, and he looks at me, and he'll look at it and to still say, is it all right? I want to know, after your hard time and hard situation, can you look up to heaven and say, God, it's all right? Can I go ahead and consume what it is that you're feeding me? Oh, he never complains. It's been time I had to change brand one time or another. Had to give it something so we can clear that out. And he never complained. Come back later and the bowl is still empty because he ate it all. Didn't leave none and took care of it. All of it. Can we eat what God has prepared for us? Will we eat what God has set before us? Or are we murmurers and complainers, fussers and arguers, dissatisfied, loyal creations, those that are called God's children? He said, if you will humble yourself and pray, seek my face and turn. He's talking to us, the believers. If we would turn from our wicked ways, what wicked ways? Our unappreciated attitude towards him. Our unconcern about our neighbors. Our selfish behavior. Our selfishness in our attitude towards life. If we ourselves will recognize what he called us to do, what he's placed us in his world to do. We'll begin to appreciate what he's already done. We'll learn how to say thank you. Lord, have mercy. I thank you now, Jesus. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for the blood running warm in my veins. Thank you that my heart still beating. Heartbeat may be a little faster than I wanted. Blood pressure may not be under the control level that I desire, but I still thank you. Sugar levels in my blood, glucose, may be too much or not enough, but I still say thank you. Arthritis seems like I don't know where it's at. It's running here and running there. But I thank you anyhow. Glaucoma and eye vision. Problems with my sight. But I still thank you because I still got hearing. I still thank you. May not be able to hear like I used to hear, but I thank you that I can still move. I can still lift up my hands. I can still stand on my feet. Oh, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I trust you with my going in and my coming out. Lord, you're too good for me. You've been good to me when I wasn't good to myself, when I said anything, did everything, ate everything. You still watched over me. Lord, thank you now. Thank you for being good.
Thank you for being great. Lord, we thank you. We bless your name, Savior. You're worthy. There's none like you, Lord. There's none like you. Oh, y'all have to excuse me. I was talking to you, but now I'm talking to my Savior. I'm talking to him for my one self. Y'all just have to excuse me. I'm giving him glory, and I'm giving him praise, because I truly thank him. I thank you for my shelter. I thank you for my transportation. I thank you that I can put one foot in front of the other. I thank you that I can dress my own self. I thank you that I got clothes to put on. I thank you that there's food in my cabinet. There's food in the refrigerator. I thank you there's furniture in my home. I think it, my car's still running. I can't get one out there that won't run. I think it, that all things that he's done for me have been in my best interest. I think it, that when I didn't do right, he didn't abandon me. I thank you. Lord, I thank you. God, you've been so good for little old me. I bless your name because you're worthy. There's none like you through all the heavens and through all the earth. There's none so righteous. There's none that exercise goodness like you, Lord Jesus. But I thank you. God, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your goodness. Oh, Lord, I thank you. You've been so good to us, oh, God. You've been good for us, oh, God. God, there's no good without you. And I thank you for the understanding of true goodness. I thank you for understanding of righteousness. Lord, I thank you. I thank you right now, Jesus. Ooh. Glory, glory, glory. That's what happened when you sit at the Lord's table. When you realize that this is a banquet and everything is set before you. You can get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Or you can take a whole lot of that and just consume it. Until it consumes you, till it fills you. And I thank him that his word does that for me. Thank God for being excited about his word. When I read the stories of Genesis and see the beginning of creation and how that God created light even before he created the sun. How out of darkness he spoke peace in the midst of chaos. How Abram was given a new name after growing old and being barren. He called him Abraham. He gave him a new name. He counted him righteous, not because he obeyed such a written letter, but simply because he believed what God said. God told him to move, and he packed up his family, and he moved. In his old age, many of us that have passed 40, we think that we're over the hill. But Abram was older than that. Some of us have made it over 50, and we're settled in our ways. You can't tell us nothing, but Abram was older than that. And God spoke to him and told him to leave your countrymen. Get out of your father's house under your father's rule. And go to a place that I shall show you. How many of us will move just in the general direction. God didn't tell him how many miles it was going to be. God did not tell him how many mountains he was going to have to climb over, how many valleys he was going to have to walk through, how many lakes that he was going to have to cross over. But God simply told him to move. How many of us today would just obey the word of God and just move it? It was counted to him, Father Abraham, for righteousness simply because he moved. The covenant that God made with him was because he obeyed when he didn't see. He didn't see the land that God was promised him, but he knew and understood that God said, move this way. And he obeyed God and he moved that way. God gave him a promise and he knew that he had to pass on his blessing. And although there was not a seed yet out of his own loins, God said, had to remind him, I said what I said. My promise is for you. And it took 25 more years before that promise came to pass. Yes, he was old. He was 99 at this time, and God still had to remind him, I'm going to bless your seed. Age 100, he received the promise that God said for him. His wife being 10 years younger than him, right behind him at 90 years old, she gave birth to the promise that God has said. How many of us would trust God's word well beyond the seemly strip of our years? Will you obey God even though it seems like you don't have the strength to do what it is that God has said that you shall do? Maybe it seems like you don't have the education that you think you need to have, but will you just go when God say go? Will you just jump when God say jump? Will you ask how, which direction shall I jump? Will you just simply follow the instructions that he gave? Will you hearken your ears, your hearing, your understanding, your compassion to what God is saying to you right now? You don't know what businesses that God wants to start in you. You don't know what ministry levels God desires to work through you. You don't know what God wants to utilize your voice for, your hand for, your talent for, your strength that you have remaining. It says in the scripture, strengthen that which remains. In other words, the strength that you have now may not be the strength that you had then, but strengthen that. Right? How do you strengthen that? You remind that if God said it, that settles it. If God said it, we can do it. Why? Because he's a just God. He never commands anything that cannot be done. He wouldn't be righteous to command me to do what I cannot do. So I must say yes, God, yes to your way, yes to your will, yes to trusting you, yes to obeying you, yes, Lord. Will we say yes in our later years of life? Yes, I know you ran well when you was young. Maybe you did this and that. But what are you doing for God right now? Are you giving God your strength now? Are you saying to God, well, I'm no longer who I used to be. I don't longer have the strength. Are you copping out? Have you tapped the mat and saying, let somebody else run? Or are you in realization that God has breathed breath in your life one more time, and there's life on the inside of you? There's strength on the inside of you, that the pneuma, the breath of God, is still running through your body. I know you're breathing in and out oxygen, but there's something down on the inside of your soul that spoke life to you early this morning, that caused you to get up. It wasn't your alarm clock. It wasn't your spouse shaking you. It wasn't even the kids or grandkids coming into the room saying, wake up, wake up. But it was the voice of God saying to you that your time is not yet. There's more for you to do. I dare you. I dare you to keep looking up. I dare you to have the desire that better days are still coming. No care what kind of life you've had before today, I dare you to hook up like you're hooking a camper to a truck, that you're connecting it to your motion. I dare you to hook up the promises of God that God has spoken in your life. The thing about write the vision, God has given many of us a vision of things to accomplish. And they have not accomplished or been accomplished as of yet. I dare you to hook that vision up to promise and hope. And say, Lord, this is the vision that you showed me. I'm going to write it down again. Not my hope, not my desires or ambition, but I'm going to write again on paper. I'm going to put it in my electronic device, on my tablet, on my PC, on my laptop. I'm going to write the vision that you gave. So when I read it again and again, I will grow strength on the inside, knowing that this too shall pass. That just like you gave Abram years to enjoy the blessing that you gave, Sister Sarah had passed at 126 or so. That means that if she had the child at 90, that God gave her 36 years, 30 plus years to enjoy the child that God gave her. She saw him to become a man. Not just a man by title, but a man by strength. She saw him as he developed his life. And his father saw him through age 70. So his father saw his children, his grandchildren. The father was able to experience more joy. And if you're following what God said, my news to you today is there's more joy on its way. If you're trusting the leading of the Holy Spirit, just like Christ was led in the wilderness, you shall have some temptation. You shall be tried in the fire so that you can test the word of God that's down on the inside of your soul. But the word of God must be down on the inside of your soul. You can only prove God's word when you know it for your oneself. I thank God for grandmama prayer. But grandmama gone on to glory. I thank God for mama prayer. But mama is not here dealing with my circumstance because she's still living and dealing with her circumstances. But what I do, praise God for, is that he know my voice. The very hairs on my head are numbered, and he understands my cry. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you today that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. What are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is, my God knows just how I feel when I can't even explain them myself. My God knows the struggle that I have with myself. Not just the struggle that I have with you, my kinsmen. Not just the struggle that I have with those that I consider of no relation to. But he knows the struggle that I have with the man in the mirror. Lord have mercy. He knows the demons that I fight on the inside of me. He knows the struggle to press beyond the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus that rests on my shoulders. He knows all of my ups and my downs. And because he knows my ups and my downs, he knows my strength and he knows my weakness. He knows what I'm able to do. I got news for us. He knew this before we knew. And while we still yet don't know all that we're able to do, he knows that also. He knows what I may fail at later on, and he knows what I'm going to succeed in the future. He already knows, and that's why he gave us a promise. Because he is a God that tells the end before the beginning begin. And when we realize that he has an expected end with my name on it, I can have hope because my hope has come with a promise. My hope comes with a promise. That promise is that he will be with me. That promise is he will never leave me nor forsake me. Even though I may walk away from his hand of grace, even though I may walk from away his hand of mercy, he's still right there with me. I may turn from him, but he did not turn from me. And if I turn around in my hard-headedness, in my stiff-neckedness, if I turn once I realize that I'm going the wrong direction, his word says, if I draw close to him, he'll draw close to me. Like the prodigal son, his father met him on the road. His father saw him afar off and came to meet him. He didn't wait in the house for the son to get in the house to repent. He saw the son on the road. I want you to know, I don't care what kind of life and what kind of mistakes you made in life that you have done up until now, God sees. He sees. God sees when you make the conscious decision to turn and come back to him. God knows your heart when it turns towards him, when you lean towards God and not your own understanding. God knows when it's time for you that to trust in him with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy strength. God knows when you have given him your everything. And what I'm trying to say is when you have emptied out your yourself, can God fill you afresh? There's a fresh feeling. There's a fresh anointing. But you got to dump out. You got to use all that he already gave. And it's only when you feel like the widow woman that had just a little bit of cornmeal, a little bit of oil, and she was about to prepare her last meal for her and her son and eat it and then die. Because the land she was in, it was barren. The place she was in had no more resources. I realized my circumstance, my situation is not my source. It's just a resource. God is my resource. And when I look to the hill, which cometh all my help, I realize all of my help comes from the Lord. He is my source. He is my strength. He is my mighty fortress. He's there to keep me from the snares of the enemy, from the fiery darts that come to try me. He's there to be my shield. So I must put on the whole armor of God. I can't go into battle half-dressed. But I must put on the helmet of salvation. I must put on the breastplate of righteousness. I must put on the shod that covers my feet, that makes sure I'm walking the way I need to walk. I must gird myself in the right doctrine. I must utilize what God said. Not what my neighbor said, not what you said, but what did God say? What is written? When I fight my enemies, when I come against those that's coming against my promise, I must remind it that it's already written in the heavens what I shall be, who I am in God. I don't have to prove to you who I am. The proof is in the pudding. If I do what God says, then I am who God says. And I'm challenging you just to do what God says. Be who God said you are. You don't have to try to be another copy of this or that, but modeling yourself, pattern yourself after the pattern of Christ. And if you do that, then and only then shall you fulfill what God has given us to look like, to walk like, to talk like, and to live right. He said, I am the breath of life. Glory. Lord, have mercy. When we begin to turn our attention to follow Christ, glory, hallelujah. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. Glory, hallelujah. I'm trying to calm down. I'm trying to calm down. But it's just so hard. Like a hungry kid. We like to say in the West, I'm like a fat kid in a candy store with everything at my disposal. Yes, Lord. I want some of this and that. I'm grabbing everything. My arms are full. My hands are full. My shirt is full. I'm dumping everything in the basket. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. That's how happy I am. I'm in a place of overflow, and I want you to join me right here in this overflow. The word of God is our overflow. I tell you all the time, the Bible is our open book. It's our open book test. Every test in life that we have to go through, open your word. Open the Bible. It's an open book test. Stop thinking that you got to pass this test without utilizing the book. The book is there for us so that we can have it before we leave this earth, that we can use it before we leave this place of existence. Use the word. Use the word. Know the word. The devil know the word, and he know what you don't know, and he know that you don't know how to apply it. That's what caused Eve to fall down, because she didn't know the word. She didn't know how to apply it. Because if she'd known it, she would have already told him, hold up, devil. Wait a minute. I realize you saying that fruit is one to make somebody wise, to know good and evil. But I want you to know it's going to make somebody like God. But I want you to know, in the image, I'm just like him. In his likeness, I'm just like him. So that means the knowledge that he has is coming my way soon and very soon. I just need to hold up and do what he gave me now to do. What did he give me now to do? take care of this. What he gave me right now, is full of green pastures. What he gave me right now, all I got to do is reach up and grab food. All I got to do, every tree is good for my body, but I ain't hungry. Word, his word, he meets us in the cool of the day. He come and talk to us. So I'm holding up. Matter of fact, you're about to be in his way. I need you to lead that way. And that's what we have to tell the naysayers. That's what we should say to those that don't understand. I need you to go that way. It's time for the word to come. The word, what is the word? Yehovah. Yehovah, he's coming now. Yehovah, he's on his way. God in his pre-incarnated state. Christ in his pre-birth state. He was meeting them in the physical so that they can relate to him, so that they can see that they look just like him. So he appeared just like them. He appeared just like he is. And one day, brothers and sisters, those of us that have received salvation, those of us that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, one day we're going to see him as he is. One day I'll be able to put my hands like Thomas did. I can put my hands in his scarred hands. I'll be able to see the scarf in his feet. I'll be able to lay my hands when he pierced him in his side. I'll be able to lift up his hair and see the scars around his hands, on his forehead. I'll be able to see what punishment, what pain he bears, so I can have everlasting life, so you can have an eternal existence of glory and not of pain, not of punishment. Oh, Lord, there's coming a day when we're going to see him as he is. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. My God, today, Lord, I bless your name. You're worthy, you're worthy. I don't make no apologies. I love God. He's good to me. He's been good to me. My life, I don't deserve it, but he gave it to me. And I tell you, thank you. I'm going to make good use of it because he gave it to me. I'm not going to waste it, but I'm going to do what he called me to do. I am who he said I am. Lord have mercy. I challenge you today to be who God called you to be. God didn't call you to be a drug addict. God didn't call you to be addicted to drugs, sex, booze, women, men, money, power, or fame. He didn't call you for that. But he called you to be one of his children. He called you to be an heir of salvation, to be an heir to the kingdom. We are a royal priesthood, a holy people. He's called up to be holy. I dare you to make up in your mind, I'm going to be holy because he said so. He said, be ye holy, for your heavenly Father is also holy. If he is holy, we can be holy, because we are in his image. We're in his likeness. We can do it, and we walk with it, not just on Sunday, not on the Sabbath, but every day that we draw breath, Monday through Saturday, through Friday, whenever you start, make sure you finish. Yes, Lord, all the days long. Yes, God. Woo, glory. Lord, have mercy. But missionary kid, I ain't mean to do all this. But I'm trying to slow down. I'm trying to let the program go as I normally schedule. But it's just too good to me. It's good. I don't know if they understand, but I know you understand. Because he's been good to you. He's been good to you like he's been good to me. Oh, Lord. So I know I got one witness that can testify that God is a good God in spite of what we don't see, in spite of what we can't see. He's still good, and he's good all by himself. Glory, 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 glory. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Oh, I love you today, God. I love you today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody might have tuned in and heard all of this and said it was too much. That's all right. It's on demand. Somebody going to catch it by accident. And when you catch it, I pray that it scare all the hell out you. I pray that it cause you to repent. I pray that it cause you to recommit your life to God. I pray that it make you hunger for more of God. I pray that it push you to promise. I pray that it push you to purpose. I pray that it gives you what you need, what you've been waiting on, what you've been hoping for. I pray that God's word will come on in and do more than your action, so much more, because his word is more, his law is more, his commandments, his promises is so much more. And so we have to, Lord have mercy, we have to pour out to God. But there's a story of a woman that had what is called an alabaster box. It was a box that had something very valuable on the inside. Some of you that got jewelry and stuff on your dresser drawer, you may have, or on your cabinet, you may have a box where you put some valuable. This woman, regardless of the lifestyle that she had, God forgave her. God spoke life into her. And she was committed to doing something worthy. So she took probably what was her most valuable possession, her earthly possession. And she took even her own body. And she took the oil, and she anointed his feet. And she cried because he had mercy on her. And she took her very hair and used it as a drying cloth to wipe the dust from its feet. Some saw it and questioned whether he is who he is, whether he knew what he should have known. And the scripture tells us this act that she done shall be known for all times. Poured out your alabaster box to God. Have you given God your worth? Thank you.
through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said to her, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, died close to pour my praise on him, like all from Mary alabaster bud. Don't be angry if I wash your feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped me. To the sin that had me bound, I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I come to pour my praise on him, like all if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You are there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Amen. Hey, Pastor Bonnet, I don't hear you. Did you mute yourself or something?
I did. I've been talking to you the whole time, but I've been talking with the phone on mute, so it didn't bleed through.
Oh, we heard you okay.
So I apologize. That was me muted. Amen. So I'm glad that you said amen the way you said it to let me know that you weren't hearing me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit just taking over the program. I don't make no apologies about the leading of the Holy Spirit. I have our comedy coming up that I want to give us that good laughter for the evening. But before I go any further, I wanted to say good evening to all the listeners. Well, good evening to you, Missionary Ken, you and your wife. God bless you. And how you doing?
Doing okay. And it's kind of a takeaway on your message. Speaking of favorite scriptures that give you the munchies, so to speak, I got a few that may whet your appetite. Psalm 15, verse 5, tells us that if a man, it says, the man sweareth to his own hurt and changes not, okay? Then, of course, Matthew 7 and verse 12, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them likewise, for this is, present tense, the law and the prophets. Matthew 25:40, whatsoever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. And then, of course, we find in James chapter 2, he tells us to put feet to our faith. When you say say to your brother, be clothed and be fed, but you tell him, basically, I'll pray for you, be clothed and be fed, but don't give him that which would profit it, would help him. What does it profit? And
that's right.
James went on to say, what does it profit? I'll show you my faith by my works. And then, of course, my favorite verse that Ruth has to kind of hold me down. You need chains, heavy-duty logging chains to hold me down. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered not 50 times, not 100 times, but once into the holy place, having obtained not partial, but eternal redemption for us. Isn't that? Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Ain't got time to preach it, but although I'd love to. Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Because that's that seal of approval right there. Amen. No more. That atonement didn't come from the blood of bullocks. It came from the precious, holy, majesty blood of the Almighty Himself. Glory.
Like I said, ain't got time to preach it, even though I want to.
Amen. Did I hear Sister Emily's voice?
Yes, you did.
Hey, okay. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. Amen.
You know,
how you feel?
Scripture that Kenny mentioned.
Uh-huh.
About swearing under your own hurt. I've been hurting for the last week because I tore my sciatica.
Ooh.
But yet today, I left here, went out, caught the city bus, went out to Walmart, took my food stamps because, Ken and Ruth are being kind enough to have me here. I went out, and I got the rest of what was needed for Thanksgiving dinner and then some.
All right. All right.
Then I had to call Sister Ruth and ask her to bring her wheelchair up to the bus stop.
To help you carry it on back to the house. Yeah, Lord. That's all right.
I told him, I said, have Ruth write the list down.
Uh-huh.
And I'll take it with me, and I'll get whatever rest is needed.
Hmm.
I kind of doubled up on stuff.
That's all right. I like overflow.
Pastor
like
Bonnet,
overflow.
I'm going to tell you. By the time I got back here, you know how I told you I had that surgery on my right foot when I had to have it rebuilt back in 2014?
Ooh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Tonight it kind of looks like a balloon.
Oh, Lord, you done folded it up. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just command that swelling to go down. We speak strength to our body. And, Lord God, you know the intent of our heart, and we just ask that you would just comfort her, give her peace in her body, healing grace. And it's in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Do we pray and believe and receive on her behalf, because it was by his stripes we are healed. And so we speak that healing virtue into her body now. Amen.
Well, they say for swelling, you're supposed to ice it. We could take her out and stick her foot in a snowbank.
Kenny, how fast do you want me to come in here and smack you?
Listen, hold up. Don't do it.
Pastor Bonnet, the foot he's talking about doing it to, if I were to stick that bare foot down in a snowbank, literally, I could cause my foot to go hypothermic.
Yeah, because you won't know what's going on. You won't have the right feeling. But, you know, he'll
no,
probably pull you out of time.
They told me back when I, right after I had the surgery, the orthopedic that did it, who has since retired, told me in the wintertime, keep that ankle bundled, because if it gets real bad coldness into it with that hardware in there, it could throw you in the hospital because of going into hypothermia in that part of your body. And that's
why
that's
I was just messing with her. That's why I was only messing with her. She knows I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Even though
see, I'm getting some of the humor out before you play your comedy. I'm getting some of the humor out.
That's right. We're just trying to cool down her heart. Well, that's all.
Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm gonna tell you, when we ain't on the air, I'm gonna have to have Missionary Ken call you and play the remake of the Starship Enterprise from Star Trek, because it wouldn't be appropriate to do on the air. Right, Kenny?
The remake of the Starship Enterprise. You can't mess up Star Trek. I'm a Trekkie fan. You can't mess up Star Trek. Come on.
The way he reworded it wouldn't be appropriate to do on the air, and I think Big Brother would have our heads if we tried it.
I'm gonna be there handing him the axe. Y'all can't mess up Star Trek. That's a classic. That's the original. I'm a James T. Kirk fan. You know, Leonard Nimoy.
Unmute yourself, Kenny. He can't hear you.
You could be Kirk, I'll be Spock.
Yeah, listen, you be Leonard Nimoy. Will Smack. But listen, we can't mess with the original. You got to, you know.
The way he reworded it is funny, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Even though, I like Spock and a couple of the other characters. But I'll tell you what, the way he redid the beginning part of it, it's funny. But it's just not appropriate for the air.
space.
But basically, it's, you know, that part that goes space, the final frontier? That's what I reworded.
Yeah, I think it's that part because, you know, that's kind of the theme, you know. The mission. And I can see you messing with it. I can see you, knowing you, I can see you messing with it a whole lot.
And the way he messed with that first part, Pastor Bonnet, he did it in a way messing with Sister Ruth.
I'm going to have to put y'all in timeout. They messing with you know. It ain't the same as messing with the Bible, but you're close. Nah, let me stop. But
as you've even said, Pastor Bonnet, happy wife, happy life.
Say happy spouse, happy house. I say it because what good if she's happy and he's miserable? They both supposed to be happy because they are one flesh. And we have to dispel that slogan because it suggests that only one of them needs to be happy. And so I have to say happy spouse, happy house.
What we got to do is we got to get Pastor Bond that's going to make a deal with me. I carry his Bible into church, and he carries mine into church.
I'm not carrying that big old 13 volume. No, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. It reminds me of
it's a fair deal.
The movie is called The Book of Eli, using Denzel Washington.
Kenny, or he could be the printed version, which is only three volumes.
Now, see, Denzel Washington messed y'all up because he shared the Bible on his show called The Book of Eli, and when they caught up with him, they tried to take it from him, but nobody could read it because it was all in Braille. but the size of the book was small, so he misrepresented what you're doing. Your Braille must be real big. You got the large.
No, this is standard Braille. Standard Braille takes 18 volume.
You got the extra large print on the Braille.
No. If it was jumbo Braille, it would take more than 18 volumes. This is standard Braille.
Yeah, he had micro Braille then. He got micro.
Yeah.
Pastor Bonnet, I got a question for you.
Uh-oh, that sounds like dangerous.
It's an easy one.
All right, back me up, Ken.
And I promise, Kenny knows what I'm about to ask you.
Oh, Lord.
Okay? And, Kenny, it ain't nothing bad, is it? With what I got tonight?
Come on.
Well, go ahead.
Earlier tonight, and Kenny will tell you, it's been several days since I've been able to call out to the nursing home where my mom is because their phone lines got jacked up.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, what happened was, you know how most of the nursing home and rehabilitation centers have those buses that they'll take the patients out or residents or whatever out on outings just to get them away for a bit.
Okay.
Well, one of the goofballs went out in the parking lot, went to back it out of where it was parked to move it back farther into the back of the parking lot. The goofball turned around, slid on ice on it with it, backed into a telephone pole, and they finally got out there to finally fix it.
Oh, wow.
And so finally tonight, I got a call from my mom, and she's been going nuts, wanting to call me this and that and the other. Tonight, after I got that call, Kenny will tell you, beforehand, I was grouchy as a bear. Tonight, since I had that call, it's calmed me down. Now that I've heard her voice, I'm fine.
Well, that's good. That's good. And to all our listeners, we're not talking down on nobody. Anybody can have an accident and make a mistake, and we don't know what caused the person to have that accident. And we pray that
my sister-in-law said the only problem that came out of that was a dented bumper on the van.
Okay.
She said that was a good thing that nobody got hurt. I told him, well, they should have known to go a little bit slower with this weather, though.
Yeah.
Unless they were just trying to be in a rush, get it done, but.
Well, hindsight is 2020, so, all it takes, and that's just to go to show how quick something can happen. It might have been he thought he needed to give it more gas and it wasn't moving like he thought and then he got the track
and he hit and
he slid, and that's all it takes is just one little incident, one little mishap, and so that just reminds us to say to all of our listeners that are traveling during this season, and you're traveling in the northern region where there's ice, is to be careful. Amen. Be more alert of your surroundings, because this type of accident is something that happened during this season where people lose control and take out a pole that may connect, electricity to a facility or to a neighborhood. And so we want to be careful. So definitely don't drive and drink. Don't drive and text. For the Six Eyes Radio Network, we encourage you to not even drive and be drowsy. Make sure you have proper rest before you get behind the wheel, because the life that you save may just be your own. Amen. So
put a word out there to our young people. All I want to tell our young people, if you need to get on a phone, find a side of the road where you're going to be safe, or pull in a parking lot somewhere and use your phone. Don't be going down the road talking on your phone, especially in this kind of weather. We don't need to lose no more young people like we did back in the winter of 2017 in Ohio. We lost 37 young people in one wreck.
Mm.
And what was bad, out of those 37 young people that were killed in a wreck out off I-90, I lost my twin daughters and a granddaughter in it. And it wasn't even their fault. And it wasn't even the fault of the truck driver, because he was trying to do what they call Jake braking, which is braking with his engine. Then he barely touched his actual brake. Patch of black ice in his truck went up over my daughter's car, which had both my twin daughters and my granddaughter in it that were killed instantly. And this man still today will contact me and say, "Hey, Mom, do you need something?" And he called me that night crying. He said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean this to happen. I wish I would have never been on that road."
Mm.
And to this day, that man stays in contact with me. If it's not by a phone call, he'll email me. "Hey, Mom, do you need anything? Where are you at?"
Wow. Yeah, tragedy happens, and I'm dealing with the what we call
when
early demise of a loved one. So that's a hard thing to
and
experience.
That's why I wanted to put that plug out there to the young people.
Yeah.
If you gotta be out
well,
in this weather,
young or old,
take your time and be very careful.
Whether young or old, it doesn't matter. All it
young,
takes is
old,
one.
Middle-aged, whatever.
Yeah,
you need
you
to be on the phone, find a parking lot,
you know,
pull in.
Well, now
that's why our blind trucking commercial. That's why our blind trucking commercial says keep your hands on the wheel, meaning both hands on the wheel and both eyes on the road.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's what it says.
Yep.
So we want to.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Amen.
Now all we got to do is teach Pastor Bonnet Braille so he can let his fingers do the walking through a Braille Bible.
Yeah, we got to teach Pastor and Sister Bonnet.
Amen. Amen.
Then they can let their fingers do the walking.
Amen. Well,
and then get them a Braille phone book, and then their fingers could do the walking through the yellow pages.
I'm still going to talk to Google. So at this point,
hey,
we're going to pause.
We need to get him a Brailler so he could type, too. That'd be cool. The only thing is he probably has to, you know, they have to give it to the rehab, and we'd have to send it out to him. We could get it to the rehab.
If the letters on the Braille typewriter are in the same position as a regular typewriter, then I could probably use it because I know how to type.
No, this is a little different. Ruth, hold on. A Braille writer, here's how easy a Braille writer is. It's got only 9 keys.
That's right. You told me that because the 9 pattern of the Braille.
Because Braille has only 6 dots, so the 6 key, there's 6 keys that operate for the 6 dots. You got a space bar, a back space bar, and a line advance. That's it.
A back and forward and a space plus the 6 box. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we'll see about my Braille class.
You got to do is get a hold of Perkins Brailler Company. You can get your Brailler there.
They have there's a community here. The college here in Memphis does that because they're teaching one of the ministers that I look after. He's an elder, and I took him to the university here in Memphis, and they have a section where they provide service for those that are sight challenged or without sight, and so they have all the equipment there, and they do the teaching. I'll help them to apply for certain needs that they have career-wise, help them to stay connected through the Internet, show them how to other systems there. So we have a program here that actually does that in Memphis. So, programs like that are good for those that have Shaka, maybe I'll get that information again so I can actually properly pass it along since our program reached so many people. And we definitely want to be able to reach our hearing impaired community and our community that are sighted, sight challenged, rather, and with resources that they can use to help them have just a better way of life and easy access to things that are already present to those that with sight. So without further ado,
on our website, we have a bunch of resources that are not only local but also national resources for the visually impaired.
Amen. And on next week's program, I'm going to have you to remind me. I'm going to have you just to give that information out verbally so that we just provide, added information to our listeners. Because once again, we're all over the world, and we want to make sure that at least for those that's listening to us here in the West, that they know that there's resources here in the States that's available for them. But let me move forward. We're at the end of our time. I want to get this comedy in. So I had to fast forward it for the saving of time. There's so much in this whole program. But this is what we have from now to listen to. And I'm going to bring the value up on this.
That's great. That's coming from a dad with one kid. Let's hear from the lady who has four C-sections. When I was backstage, I realized that our next entertainer and I have a lot in common, that we're both from the Midwest. We both came out to Hollywood to pursue our dreams of being in the entertainment industry, both on major hit sitcoms, have multiple Emmys, are adored worldwide. Oh, wait, that's me. I guess God had a different plan for his life. Please welcome Michael Jr.
This is a poker table, and here
you messed up.
That Jonas Depp's manipulate.
I just got married, which is cool, right? You ever been to a surprise wedding?
A surprise wedding.
Well, I'm real glad that I got married, because now you don't got a date no more, which you're not supposed to, right, Justin? But now when I have a date, it's really, really cool, right, because some of the women were materialistic, right? I just asked the lady if she wanted to go out, and she tried to subliminally use words to figure out what type of vehicle I could afford. I was like, so you want to go out? She said, well, maybe we can go on some sort of expedition. I mean, if you can navigate your way to pick me up. I wasn't spending no money on her, so I was like, oh, that's cool, because if you go with me to the fiesta, I'd be more than happy to be your escort. You can travel, right? I'm noticing some of the airports don't have enough security. One of them didn't have a real metal detector. It was just a lady standing there with an attitude. He looked like he got some. Beep. Then he's gonna zombie. Excuse me, Michael Jr. We're going to have to use a wand on you. All right, that's cool. I'm spreading my arms out. This little dude named Juan came over and started frisking. I'm not paying for no water. It's free. You try to tell me the California tap water is bad for you. I've been drinking the tap water since I moved here. I haven't noticed any problems with me. Not to mention, I've been drinking the tap water since I moved here. I haven't noticed any problems with me. I get strange questions asked. I mean, somebody walks up to me like, so, Michael Jr., are you pro-gay? What? No, I'm not pro-gay. Or amateur gay either.
That is so good.
I think I'm up like most about doing comedy, right? I used to have this thing called a job, right? I was a cashier at a gas station, but that didn't mean that I wasn't a comedian. Guy walked in who clearly had on a hairpiece. So I'm just doing my job, right? Throw the pop. $59.77. And how are you going to pay? Then this big lady walked in. Well, the swollen lady walked in, right? There's nothing wrong with being big. She had a bad attitude. She came in there complaining. What took you so long to authorize the bump? I can't believe it took you that long. And I started to explain. I was like, yeah, I was busy. Okay, I had a whole bunch of, I was trying to, and I just stopped and looked at her. I was like, yo, sorry about your weight. I quit that job. They wanted me to get them a 2 weeks notice. I was like, your boss, 2 weeks from now, you're going to notice I ain't been here in 2 weeks. Now, a comedy, all basically is just watch people and pay attention to how we respond to things, right? Like, if you've been listening to somebody talk, and it seems as if the conversation is almost over. Then they start up a whole new topic. Did I ever tell you about the time? You're like, I thought she was a loser. Or the pastor at church. In closing. Did I ever tell you about the time? Did I tell you what time the game? Come on, pastor. I watch everybody, too, like college students. Take somebody who goes to a night school, let's say, like, University of Southern California. Ask them what school to go to. There you go. Ask them what school to go to. You get a nice, quick answer. What school to go to? USC. New York University. You get a nice, quick answer. What school to go to? NYU. Ask somebody to go to community college. You get a much longer response, don't you? What school to go to? Well, see, right now, my financial aid is supposed to come through. My cousin gonna make this bus. Meanwhile, at school, my teacher tried to tell me I had ADD.
That was so crazy. That was so crazy. Amen. Come on.
Which stands for attention deficit. Yeah, it's a nice necklace you got on. Right? sometimes I would read a book, right? I would open it up and I would look at the words, and the letters would get like mixed. They would get like scrambled. They tried to tell me I was less nifty. Okay, you might be working on one joke, and another joke is on the way. Hey, what you do is you just grab the second joke, put it in your pocket. Later on, you'll have a treat. You might forget the joke is there. Then you'll be at the store, so hold on, dude, I got the change. Let me get the change.
Amen. We're not finished. We're going to let Michael Jr. continue a little bit longer. But we have come to the end of our program, but we're going to let Michael Jr. go another 5 minutes or so here. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners that have dialed in, that have called in, that are watching or listening online or on demand. Thank you for your time with us on this evening. You have been tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with Pastor Bonnie. Thank you always. If anytime you'd like to contribute to the Six Eyes Radio Network program, there are two applications in which you may be able to sow your financial seeds, and they are PayPal and Cash App. For those of you that are using the Cash App, if you use Cash App, it is $6eyes24. That is $6eyes, the digit number 2, and the digit number 4. And whatever God has put on your heart to sow into this radio programming will be greatly appreciated. If you're using the PayPal platform, it is the email address is 6i6@gmail.com. That is SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever amount you decide to sow in to this radio program to keep, we say thank you in advance. Thank you for those of you that have contributed in the past. Thank you for your continuous support. We love you with the love of God. And now we are back to listening to Michael Jr.
Hermosa Beach at the County of Mexico. So I leave and I walk into my car and it's getting a little cold, a little dark outside. So I'm thinking, let me hurry up and get to where I need to be. So I start jogging. And this white lady with a little jogging outfit on came around the corner about 20 feet in front of me. We're jogging in the same direction now. Then she looked back. So I look back too. I didn't see anything past it. A white person scared of it. Michael Jr. scared of it too.
Once again, we thank you for tuning in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday.
wife. I was a single dad at three. Right now I got four kids. Really, really a blessing. But I was a single dad. Three, right? It was a lot of work. I thought it would be easy. Like my sixth grader came home with some math homework, right? She wanted me to help him. I'm thinking sixth grade math? How hard could that be? How many apples does Sally possibly have? He asked me to help her write a polynomial. We had a ball of Oreo. I'm paying for a tutor, right? Twice a week. First you go on Tuesday, and then on Thursday, I go. My first grader comes home, right? It's picture day. The pictures are expensive, right? She had a note that said she can bring an item from home, like a teddy bear or a rose, to make the picture more personable, right? For that much money, I'll send her to class with her brother and sister. I'll let you know. Then my son, I don't know how many, if you've ever been around like a four-year-old before, they ask a lot of questions. Question after question after, man, y'all know nothing. You've been here for 4 years. We're in the doctor's office, right, and the lady across from us just starts nursing her baby. My son looked at her. She didn't look at me. I'm trying to ignore him. Looked at her, he looked at me. This is when I find out he don't even know how to whisper. Playing in front of all these strangers. They all got a band in the neck from holding their laugh. So what you saw was natural. This woman had these breasts. And he said, what's a breast? It's like a container that holds milk. Smart. I mean, it's like brilliant, right? Dad already told me a little while back we had a burglar. Somebody broke in where we live. They didn't steal anything. Nobody got hurt, but gathered what he said. Apparently, they broke in and they peed in his bed. Upon further investigation, I found out they also peed in Apollo's Spider-Man pajamas on the side of the picture. An awesome moment, though. Awesome fathers, you know, when you get that father-son moment, it's like my son looks at me out of nowhere. And he just said to me, Dad, I want to be a doctor. I'm like, yeah. Then he said, or a dinosaur. Michael Jr.
Tune in tomorrow for the Word of the King. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on this evening. May God keep you as you go forward. God bless you.
Night.